following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goins.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this September 5th, 2024. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins, here on ESPN 106.7. You got me for the next 2 hours on the Auburn Opelika sports leader. Man, do we have a lot to talk about today. Thursdays are crazy around here for the next 2 hours. If you're new here, welcome. If you are a returning customer, you know it's about to get crazy. Three guests on Thursday afternoons is what we have between 2 and 4 p.m. We've got Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network. We'll be joining us coming up at 2:30. We'll recap game one for Auburn football in their 73-3 win. We'll do a quick recap there because we've already flipped the page to California this Saturday. We'll get Brad's thoughts. Want to hear some of his stories from a year ago when they went out to Berkeley and what they expect to see in return this year here at Auburn. So Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network with us at 2:30. Then to kick off hour number two at 3 o'clock, we've got Auburn High School's head football coach Keith Etheridge will join us on the phone lines. We'll talk about Vestavia Hills from last week, a big win for the Tigers over at Duck Sanford Stadium, and preview Auburn and Opelika. That's right, it is Auburn Opelika week here around town. I'm sure you've heard about this game. It's kind of a big deal on Friday nights, and so looking forward to that game tomorrow. Weather will be a problem, I'll go ahead and tell you, but the game is sold out, so I don't think that's going to keep you crazy fans away, and I can't wait to see all of you tomorrow night at Duck Sanford Stadium. And if I don't, hopefully you're listening on Wings 94.3. So Coach Etheridge will join us coming up at 3, and then Chris Gordy, host of Locked On SEC, your daily SEC podcast, will join us coming up at 3:30. Until then, though, this is your best time to get in. Right now, phone lines are open, 334-321-1390. That's the number to get you through to me. Give me a call. We'd love to hear from you on this Thursday. It's time to start taking picks. It's time to start taking predictions on what's going to happen this weekend in college football. Heck, you can pick high school football if you want to. Fine by me. I love it. This kicks off region play around the state of Alabama. So anything on your mind on this Thursday, you can give me a call. 334-321-1390. You can also shoot me a quick text in the On the Line text box. That number is 334-784-1067. Your thoughts, maybe a quick question or so there as well. I'll be checking that periodically throughout the show. Well, week two is upon us for Auburn football, for college football. And I mentioned, believe yesterday, where it may not be as exciting as it was last week. There may not be as many massive matchups, right? No Georgia Clemsons or Miami and Florida or Notre Dame Texas A&M. But there are good games on the schedule, and I think there are some sneaky good games on the schedule as well. And Christian and I went through a few of these yesterday and had a lot of fun doing it, and just so many big storylines going into week two of college football. I mean, we have a program in Power Four that's already eliminated themselves from the college football playoff. We have a team down in Gainesville that their starting quarterback is on concussion protocol, so the elite freshman gets the start for the Gators this week after they embarrass themselves against Miami. Like, tell me that college football isn't amazing. Oh, and by the way, in case you didn't get enough football or don't have enough football, the NFL gets started tonight. Yeah, the NFL gets going tonight with the Ravens and the Chiefs on Thursday Night Football. Like, come on. We've got so much happening now that football season is here. In the prime, in the flesh, it's here. And I am just ecstatic about this. And we've got to try and find a way on Fridays to slip in some NFL talk. I don't know how we're going to do it, but we got to find a way. And maybe we do it earlier in the week. I'm not sure. But I know T-Bone is going to want to talk some NFL as well. So we'll try to get more into a habit of that as we go. But this weekend, it's highlighted, of course, by Texas and Michigan. There's no secret on that. College Game Day is going to be there. I believe they announced that Michael Phelps is the guest picker on College Game Day. And I know some of you like Game Day, some of you don't. I personally do. I like it. I also like SEC Nation, the SEC Network game show. And I know a lot of you, too, might like the Big Noon Kickoff show on Fox. Now, with that show, unfortunately, they typically don't cover the SEC as well, but that's because most of the SEC games don't take place on Fox. I mean, most of those games are not aired on their station, and so they don't cover them as much, and it's totally understandable. But with that being said, Texas-Michigan is on Fox tomorrow, so give them a little bit credit. I'm sure they're there. I haven't seen it, but I'm sure that that show is there too. So keep that in mind. But man, just in terms of storylines, especially around the Southeastern Conference, like, this is another big week for the conference. And it's crazy to say since it's only week two, but seasons are maybe not on the line this week, but reputations are. There are big opportunities this week around the Southeastern Conference. Texas in Ann Arbor, Arkansas at Oklahoma State, South Carolina and Kentucky kick off SEC play this week. That's awesome. That's phenomenal. We talked with Jordan Hill yesterday of Dogs 247 about how that Kentucky team's going to look, because guess who comes to town next week? You guessed it, Georgia. That's a huge opportunity. Will Kentucky look ahead and get distracted by a South Carolina team that almost lost to Old Dominion in week one? Yikes. Couple of other games. I'm not diving into South Florida, Alabama. I'm not going to do it. I can't. I physically can't do it. I said it on the show yesterday, and I even told Doug again today during the Max Roundtable. I joined him on Thursdays at 11:20. I said, nobody who wears the crimson and white is stressing about South Florida. Nobody. Nobody's worried about this game. The Crimson Tide's favored by 31. And this game's in Tuscaloosa. Okay? I don't know if the weather's going to be bad. It wasn't pretty last year when they went down to South Florida, but they had bigger problems than the rain a year ago. They had quarterback problems, they had attitude problems, they had skill problems. They fixed it, though. Don't worry. They got it figured out. Supposed to be 85 and sunny Saturday in Tuscaloosa, so they'll be fine. And it's Saturday night there at Bryant-Denny, so South Florida has no chance. Because I think if you look at Alabama, and we haven't talked about it much this week, you look at what they did in week one, they basically did what Auburn did. They went out, they dominated a much weaker opponent, played really good defense, highlights on offense, five-star freshman receiver Ryan Williams gets involved, and they did what they were supposed to do. And the Kalen DeBoer era got off to the right start. Their second game is similar to what Auburn is doing. You're welcoming in a good program. I'm not going to say a respectable program. I don't know how you want to describe South Florida in the American Conference. Okay, still not a Power Four team, technically, right? But I think it's fair to put them and Cal in the same sort of conversation. I think Cal would win. I think Cal's a better team than South Florida, but not by much. And so Alabama and Auburn are in very similar situations in week two. Dominant win over a much weaker opponent in week one. And you welcome in a team that you're supposed to beat. But the storyline and the narrative that I continue to go back to, the difference is Alabama's favored by 31. And nobody's worried about them winning their game. Auburn's favored by 14. And there are still doubters that Hugh Freeze and the Tigers get it done. But didn't those two games go similarly last year? didn't they both go really wrong for Alabama and for Auburn a year ago, but somehow found a way to win? And yet here we are a year later with two completely different programs for Bama and for Auburn. And yet it's still the same situation. There's different feelings on separate sides of the states. I will say, or on the separate sides of the state, that is, I'll say this. I believe Auburn fans are getting to that point about this particular game against California. I think the confidence is growing by the hour for Auburn fans. And I do say be wary. I do. Be wary. Because for me, I've seen this story way too many times. As an Auburn fan, I've seen this way too many times, man. Yes, it's at home. Yes, it's 2:30. Yes, it's week two. Yes, you put up 73 points. You got a 70-point win a week ago. And it looked different. It did. It looked different. I know. But I am in full believe it to see it mode. Or I get, no, see it to believe it. That's better. I'm in full see it to believe it mode. When it happens, I'll buy in. I'll believe it. I'll say, okay, nicely done. Let's move on. But until it actually happens, for me, you may not be in this situation. You may be full confidence, Auburn by a million. They're just going to absolutely destroy the Golden Bears. They're going to send their fans home upset across the country, and they're going to fly commercial on Spirit Airlines, and they're going to hate it the entire way. Maybe. Or maybe you're like me. And until I see it consistently, which is what Doug and I talked about today, that's the word he used, and I will continue to use that. I'll steal it from him. Until I see it consistently, I'm still going to be a little, let's wait and see, right? And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I really don't. And I'm surprised that there aren't more Alabama fans in that scenario, in that state of mind. And I think, and what I mean by that is, if you're an Alabama fan right now and you're going into this game on Saturday where Alabama hosting South Florida, 6 o'clock ESPN, tied favored by 31. Yeah, you just got a great win a week ago. You put up a ton of points, didn't give up any. Like, you did your job. Team looked good. DeBoer era, off to a nice start. But this is the first decent game, I guess. It's only week two. But I think it has to do with the fact that South Florida is just not a good football team. What I am curious on is, how does Wisconsin look this week and how do Bama fans feel next week? That's when we got to check in and see how everybody's doing in Tuscaloosa and in Birmingham and across the state down in Mobile, whoever Alabama fans, wherever they reside. That's going to be the time to check in, and let's check the pulse of Alabama fans. Let's check the thermometer. Where are we sitting starting next week if Wisconsin has a good week? And I'll admit, I don't know who Wisconsin plays, and I'm going to pull it up as I talk to you here, because the Badgers didn't look good in week one. They didn't. They looked pretty bad in week one, did Wisconsin. They play South Dakota this weekend, and South Dakota must be so bad, there's not even a betting line for it in Vegas. So take that for what it is. And so my guess is, if this weekend for Bama goes the way that they think it will, they'll have the utmost confidence going into next week against Wisconsin. And my question to you is that wrong? Are they wrong to feel that way for this game against South Florida? For the game next week against Wisconsin on the road there in Madison? I don't think they're wrong, but I think it should be scaled back just a hair because of who the head coach is, or better yet, who the head coach is not. I just think that's how I feel about it. That's when I look at it, it's like, okay, you have a lot of talent. You got Jalen Milroe as your quarterback. You guys looked really good in week one. And there's a good chance you're going to look good in week two. But shouldn't you be a little bit nervous about week three? Shouldn't you have just a little bit of, man, if we don't play well, things could go bad. And I'll give Doug Amos credit. I guarantee he feels that way. He'll say some things like that next week because he understands. He gets it. And some do and some don't. And I think that's where Auburn fans are right now. I think a lot of you are in the boat of, yeah, this should go well. Auburn should handle business. Auburn should dominate Cal. But if things don't go right, they'll go very, very wrong. How do we know that? We saw it a year ago. We saw it last year, the same exact time, but in a different place. But the difference that everybody has talked about is the talent difference for Auburn. Has nothing, and I said this early in the week, it has nothing to do with Cal. Nothing. There is nothing that they can do. There's not one single person that they can bring that can beat Auburn by themselves. The story is Auburn on Saturday. If they play well, they'll win big. If they don't, Cal will hang around like they did a year ago. And I think fans feel that way. I think most of you are that way. But as we get closer to kickoff on Saturday, the confidence continues to grow. And all I'm saying is, as we get to break, all I'm saying is just be careful. I'm not saying it's going to be close. I'm just saying be careful in case it is. All right, let's get to a break. We'll come back. We will continue to look around week two of college football. I have some high school updates for you as well. We'll get that in before Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network will join us coming up at 2:30. You still have a chance to get in on this. 334-321-1390. We'll be right back after this here on the Thursday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Back inside the studio here at ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Mentioned we have some high school updates in case you missed it. Here locally, the Warriors of Lee Scott Academy, called by Christian Griffin, the new voice of Lee Scott. He's done a fantastic job through the first two games that Lee Scott has played, with wins over Excel and then Lochapoca. They open up region play this week with the Tigers of Childersburg, which is tonight. Yes, the game is tonight. It was supposed to be tomorrow. It's at Childersburg, so, you know, hour 15 up 280. The game was supposed to be tomorrow, but with the weather moving in and with Childersburg, you know, field conditions, things like that, they're going to try and get that game in tonight. And so, if you're looking for something to listen to tonight on a Thursday, tune in on AU 100. That's 100.3 FM on your radio dial. If you're in the car, got a radio sitting around 100.3 FM, or you can listen on AU100FM.com. That's AU100FM.com. Or if you have our Radio Alabama app, you can listen on there as well. Pre-game starts at 6:30, kickoff at 7 on the Lee Scott Sports Network. Christian Griffin, Rhett Chrome will be live at Childersburg as the Warriors are on the road 2 weeks in a row, opening up region play, first region game as a member of the AHSAA. 3A ball kicks off tonight, man, and that's not the only game. I believe there are 17 games. That's what it was yesterday. 17 games around the state had been or are being played on this Thursday. I think like 11 of those were moved from Friday, and that number could be more. I have not checked it today. So I know, or I'm pretty sure, that Central Phoenix City plays tonight. I think they play Smith Station to open up region play for them. So a lot of teams are moving those games from Friday to Thursday. The one that you need to know about is Lee Scott and Childersburg. Really, really exciting matchup. That's going to be, again, AU 100, 6:30 pregame, kickoff at 7, Christian Griffin and his color commentator, Rhett Chrome. For Auburn and Opelika, that's us tomorrow. It is tomorrow. That game is not moving and will not move. I can promise you that. That operation is way too big to try and move right now this late in the week. So they're going to be playing in the rain. Those socks and shoes going to be a little soggy by the end of it. But that game is tomorrow night at the Duck. And a reminder, this is from Auburn High. This is from Dan Norton himself, the athletic director at Auburn High School. Tickets are sold out They are out. They will not sell them at the door. You cannot get them online. They are sold out. So if you don't have a ticket already, I'm sorry. You can't get in the door. But what you can do is you can listen to the radio call with me, Rob Pate, and Jack Hutton. The whole crew back in the booth this week on the Auburn High Sports Network. That is all over on Wings 94.3 and WingsFM.com. That is tomorrow night, pregame 6:30, kickoff at 7, Auburn and Opelika. Cannot wait, man. This is my first Auburn Opelika experience as the voice of Auburn High, and it really is one of my first Auburn Opelika experiences. Believe I was, I joined Jack Hutton one time during a basketball game for Auburn Opelika, but that's been a couple years back, and it was awesome. But this is my first true experience, because with football, right, I called Lee Scott for 2.5 years and called Lee Scott Glenwood, which is an unbelievable rivalry, and I can't wait for Christian to get that experience as a play-by-play guy. But man, Auburn Opelika is special, and I cannot wait to call the Tigers and the Bulldogs tomorrow night inside of Duck Sanford Stadium. Again, that is on Friday, pregame 6:30, kickoff at 7 on Wings 94.3. So keep that in mind. Also, man, tomorrow's a busy day. Got a lot of programming notes here. Tomorrow also, a reminder that ESPN 106.7, we are live on location tomorrow, rain or shine. It's going to be rain, but rain or shine, we are on location tomorrow at the Plaza Bar and Lounge. Okay, we're going to be on location there, brought to you by Sensi Green Heating and Air. They are sponsoring our live remote. We're going to be there at the Plaza Bar and Lounge in Midtown. Those nice white buildings over there off the side of Opelika Road, that's where we're going to be, right there across from Niffer's. So come hang out with us for a little bit. We're talking Auburn Opelika. We're talking Auburn University versus Cal, all the biggest week two games and other things around sports. So come out and join us tomorrow. That is On the Line and The Drive. So two shows, 4 straight hours of local sports talk live on location that you can come out and be a part of it. And I said this earlier, Uncle T-Bone said he's buying drinks and food for the first 1,000 people that show up. So, I mean, just come out and you know, he makes a lot of money. So just come and he'll take care of you is what he said. I'm just passing the word along. I don't know. So, no, I'm just kidding. So, yeah, tomorrow, Auburn Plaza Bar and Lounge. Come check us out, ESPN 106.7 live on location. Then Saturday. Right, Saturday is Auburn University football game day, and we have 5 hours of coverage leading up to kickoff on Wings 94.3. Isn't that incredible? We have game day on Wings with all of our wonderful sponsors, and the two guys doing that, you know their names, Uncle T-Bone and Jumpin' Jack Hutton. Those two guys go live 5 hours before kickoff. They will be going live, what is that, 9:30 this week? I think that's right. I think my math is correct on that. 9:30 a.m. Saturday morning, Wings 94.3. Wake up, get your cup of coffee. You can watch game day on. You can watch the ESPN game day on the television on mute and have game day on Wings on your Alexa, on your phone, on your laptop, on your radio, whatever you want to do. So be sure you tune into that as well. 2 straight hours of those gentlemen leads into the Tiger Tailgate Show, countdown to kickoff with the Auburn Sports Network, and then kickoff between Auburn and Cal. And the good news is we're going to get a chance to talk about all of that and more with Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network, who is going to be joining us coming up after our bottom of the hour break. Get his quick thoughts from a week ago as the season opened up. Also, look ahead to what you need to know for the broadcast this weekend, how Tiger Talk went this week, and then his thoughts on Auburn and Cal, plus whatever else is going on around Auburn athletics. Maybe we'll get some basketball talk in there as well, because Auburn's non-conference schedule is finalized, right? The big dogs, plus you've got North Alabama in there, Georgia State in there, Richmond, things like that. So we'll talk to Brad Law about all of that as well coming up in just a few minutes. He will join us after our bottom of the hour break. Coach Keith Etheridge from Auburn High School will be joining us as well at 3 o'clock. And then also Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC with us in hour number 2. So I've told you, it's a jam-packed show on Thursdays. Nobody's having more fun or working harder than us. I promise you that. And we're having a great time on this Thursday edition of On the Line. Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network with us coming up next, talking football, basketball, whatever else we can get to. You never know. Brad's got a way with words, and you never know what type of trail we'll head down when he joins us on the show. He joins us next here on the Thursday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line with Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 minutes into hour number one here on the Thursday edition of On the Line. I'm your man, Jacob Goetz, here on ESPN 106.7. And joined on the phone lines, he's with us every Thursday at 2:30, the busiest man in radio, Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network. Brad, how are you, man, on this Thursday?
Oh, I don't know if I'm busier than you are. I don't have a high school game to call tomorrow night, and a fairly big one. We're good. We're all set for Auburn and Cal, and I can't wait to see this team back on the field again for game two.
Yeah, I've been admitting throughout the week, I it's hard for me to contain my excitement for Auburn and Opelika tomorrow night. It's my first one to experience that, and for people that have been around this town longer than I have, I know how special that Auburn and Opelika is, and I'm thankful that it's at home at Duck Sanford Stadium.
It's going to be great. I don't know what the weather's going to do or how much it's going to cooperate, but
it's going to be terrible. You know,
yeah. All right. At least you know. And that's okay. It's not going to dampen the enthusiasm. I'll say this. Some places, some games, they have to change their game because they're afraid that a little weather might hurt the gate. It's not an issue with Auburn and Opelika, for sure.
No, it sold out, I think, Tuesday of this week, so yeah. It didn't take long. So, yes, very excited for that, but we're also excited for Saturday when Auburn and Cal face off, this time inside of Jordan-Hare. So, look, I know you and the guys are very, very looking forward to sleeping in your own bed Friday night and not having to take a cross-country flight this year.
Yeah, you know, this time last year we were on a plane. We're getting close to being on a plane because the team left on Thursday. I remember watching the first NFL game of the year in the air a year ago. And so I think I watched Prince Tagovailoa in a backup role for the Chiefs because one of their guys couldn't play in the opener. And, yeah, I would say everybody wearing orange and blue prefers this. And there's a lot different about this year's game than last year's game, and not the least of it is the travel.
Well, we'll get into that here momentarily, but before we get to week two, we got to step back a little bit and take a look at week one, and it's been a big conversation around town that Auburn was able to open up the season with a win, and not just a win, but a 70-point win at that, Brad. 73-3. Offense played well. Defense played well. Special teams got a touchdown in there. I mean, it really was a complete performance for game one in 2024.
Hard to ask for a whole lot more. Don't really care who the opponent was. Alabama beat their opening opponent 63-0. They're ranked fourth in the country this week. Texas beat theirs 50-0. They're ranked third this week. Ole Miss beat their opponent 60 or 70 something to nothing, and they're ranked fifth or sixth this week. I don't care who the opponent is. We wanted to see more explosiveness from the offense, and we saw it. And we saw a defense get 9 3 and outs out of 13 or 14 possessions. We saw tons of new players. We saw a lot of guys from that touted recruiting class in the game. For what you could see in that game, Auburn showed it. And that is 100% satisfactory, as far as I'm concerned, for a game one.
So much conversation going into the week, believe you and I may have talked about this as well, was, okay, how much are they going to run? How much are they going to pass? What are we going to see? What will they show? And my motto that I've basically given for Hugh Freeze, he said, to heck with all that. We're going to throw the football as much as we can. And it was a lot of fun to watch, Brad.
Yeah, it was. It was, and I think that was part of the idea. Like, you can't go out and do that in every game because the defenses aren't going to allow it. They're just going to be better athletically. But Auburn was better athletically than Alabama A&M, and glad to play an in-state school and proud to have A&M here and the program represented. There were some Auburn connections on that team. But athletically, you were able to do in this game some fun things. Like, they purposefully tried to get all the receivers touchdowns. And, you know, I mean, that's great. That's the kind of thing you do in a video game. Or the thing you do in a real game where you just totally outmatch the opponent. And I think the recruits that were there, it was a message to them. I think it was a message to fans, the current team, future players. This is who we want to be. They could have gone and been very vanilla, Jacob. They could have run 70 times and still breezed to a win. But they were out to show that things were going to be a little bit. I'll tell you, it reminds me of, now I obviously wasn't there, not this old, but I hear stories about when Pat Sullivan and Terry Beasley got to Auburn, and, you know, Auburn had been a historically just ground-and-pound running team, as most teams were in right. that day. And the first play of whatever season, 69 or 70 or 71, first play of whatever season it was, they come out and throw a deep bomb down the field. May have been incomplete, but they did it anyway on the first play, and the whole crowd cheered, and that's, you know, the kind of the story that's lived on for decades. That's what that reminded me of, that, oh, you thought we were just a little different? No, this isn't taking the old car to the car wash to get detailed. This is a brand new high-performance sports car. Be ready.
And Auburn fans took notice of it immediately. It's impossible not to, but their excitement has bled into this week, and it's feeding into what could happen this Saturday, which I don't think anybody's expecting 73 points, Brad, but I do think Auburn fans have the expectation, even this early in the season, of we can score some points, and hopefully they continue with that mindset in terms of Hugh Freeze, because they showed us that in game one.
Yeah, 73 points is not now the barometer. That's not the marker, nor should it be. That's not realistic. But you weren't going into last week wondering, all right, is Auburn going to win the game? Are they going to squeak by? Are they going to win by 20? What you're looking for is, how do they look on the field? And you know, when Cam Newton took the field in 2010 against Arkansas State, and he ran 72 yards on the quarterback draw, you just kind of looked at him, all right, he's different. He's not like everybody else. And there are some guys on the field for Auburn, multiple players, I think, that when you look and go, oh, they're certainly not like what Auburn has had in previous years. These guys are different. And that's what's exciting. It's not that you beat an opponent by 70 or score the most points in an opener since 1915. It's that what the guys look like is different than what we're used to seeing.
And that difference is what Auburn fans are hoping they get to see once again this weekend, as the Tigers are hosting the Golden Bears of Cal. We're talking to Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network. He's with us every single Thursday at 2:30. And as we look towards this game this weekend, Brad, I mean, it is going to be different. And Auburn fans hope it looks a little bit different, too, because of how last year, look, there ain't no way to sugarcoat it. It wasn't pretty a year ago, but they got it done. And hopefully, maybe it's a little bit cleaner this year.
I know the sentiment. I'll tell you, it was pretty to me to get back on the plane after a after a victory and two time zones away and with a brand new offensive staff and, you know, that kind of thing, and to have a chance not to win it but to come through, and Rivaldo to make such a great catch, and then DJ had the interception late. There were pretty things throughout the game, but I love this about Coach Freeze. He was asked the question Monday. You may have talked about this week, but somebody asked him the question about going backwards offensively in his press conference in game two last year. And it was phrased in a way that, like, a lot of coaches would bristle at it. A lot of coaches would go, oh, I wouldn't say we, you know, blah, blah, blah. They would really coach speak it into oblivion. Not only did he not do that, he took it head on. He said, as to the first part of your question, you know, yeah, that's exactly accurate. It's exactly what happened. He told us on Tiger Talk Monday night that it was the first game last year where he sort of felt really uneasy about the direction they were going in offensively. Uncomfortable, sick to his stomach, he said. So that's totally different from last year. And I think the expectation is that it will look, you know, Peyton and the offense and everybody really looked much more confident and comfortable last week than they did at any point last season. And I think that carries over into this game. It's a major, major change from last year.
I want to go down the side street just for a second on what you were talking about with Hugh Freeze and his transparency and his openness when he talks on the radio or to the media. And you and I have had this conversation in person on Mondays at the pressers. I mean, it's unlike anything I've ever seen, Brad, and I haven't been doing it as long as some. But, man, it's really, really nice and refreshing and just fascinating to listen to Hugh Freeze address the things about his team, because he's honest.
He's not animated. He's not pounding his fist on the table. He's not using 1,000 words when 10 will do. He doesn't stop and tell, all right, you ready for a lecture? Are you ready? I'm gonna say something here. I'm going to break out of the coach speak and actually be true. He's very understated and just kind of says it. And it's come to the point to where you don't have to decode it. You don't have to put it through any filter. You know, if he says a guy's probably not going to play, well, he's probably not going to play. And if he says that, you know, they're going to try to stop the running game first, well, they're probably going to try to stop the running game first. I mean, he will tell you exactly what the challenges are and where the bright spots are. And he has shown again that he's not afraid to take on questions or concepts that other coaches would bristle at. It's a real, I don't know, you know, that kind of vulnerability comes from confidence. And we see it, man, we see it now almost on a weekly basis.
There's no reading between the lines. And I think that's what is refreshing. You don't have to take a quote and say, well, what do we think he meant by this? Do you think he's referring to this or to this? No, you know exactly what he meant.
No, that's exactly right. All right, he said that they're challenging the offensive line. Well, what does he mean by that? It means he's challenging the offensive line. It means he's not happy with where they are. That's not a veiled, you know, we're trying to get more out of this guy or the next. He's challenging that. Like, it's exactly what he said. And so, you know, that, again, to me, that spells more firepower from the offense this week, because that's a focus of making sure the narrative stays. Look how different this is. If by some chance Auburn goes out and they look disjointed on offense again this year, like they did against Cal last year, you know, different teams, both sides, different teams. But if you look disjointed again, then everybody can point to it and say, well, maybe they haven't made the big leaps that we thought. But if they do, well, the momentum just continues. And they're aware of it. They're focused on that. And that's what I think he meant when he said that.
Tigers hosting Cal, 2:30. You can catch the broadcast over on Wings 94.3, wingsfm.com here locally, Auburn Opelika. Brad, I know you guys have done all your prep. You're ready to go. The Golden Bears coming to Jordan-Hare Stadium. It's a different Cal team, but very similar to what they were a year ago, a defense that Hugh Freeze has vocalized his respect for and knows that they are a really, really well-coached team. What can you tell people about Cal and what sort of a threat that they could, propose against Auburn on Saturday?
Yeah, a lot of unknowns still about the offense, and a lot of unknowns about their centerpiece to the offense, Jaden Ott. He was injured in the second half of their opener against UC Davis. And before that, he had 18 touches. He had 14 carries, 4 catches, 2 touchdowns. You know, he's a versatile guy, really good catching out of the backfield since he got to Cal. If he plays, you got to figure they're going to want him to touch the ball 22 to 25 times. That's on offense. Otherwise, they didn't throw the ball downfield a lot last week. Do we see more of that in this game? Were they holding some stuff back against UC Davis? That's possible. They're not going to have anything to lose. They're going to come out with, you know, if they have tricks, they're going to use them, I think, in this game. And then defensively, Xavier Carlton, a transfer from Utah. David Reese, a transfer from Florida. How bad are people running from the Florida program? Reese is from Fort Pierce, Florida. He went all the way to Cal. The transfer away from the Florida program. These guys are going to be a much bigger test for the offensive tackles. So Peyton Thorne had a load of time last week because, in part, Alabama A&M's defensive ends were like 205 and 230 pounds. Reese is 6'2", 240 and a redshirt senior. Carlton, 6'3", 240 out of Modesto. So much more power, size, speed. These guys are going to be better at rushing the passer. So, you know, Isavian Miller, Tyler Johnson, Percy Lewis, if he gets those reps too, those guys are going to have to give Peyton time to wait for his receivers to get open. That's, I think, the key matchup in this game. Cal has improved defensively, and we don't know yet offensively because the coordinator and the scheme are totally different.
Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network. My man, you did a phenomenal job in your newer role on the Auburn Sports Network and the Tiger Tailgate Show. Countdown to kickoff. Everything sounded fantastic. You guys did a really, really good job in game 1 Saturday.
Thank you. I appreciate that a lot. We, you know, we want to make our broadcast as appealing as possible. And so we do that from pregame to postgame and try to think of the content. And so appreciate you saying that and appreciate everybody stopping by. Come see us on the Tiger Tailgate Show Saturday morning, starting at 11:30. Just come say hi. We'd love to see you if you're listening to the broadcast.
Yep, you guys will be set up out there outside the stadium where the Tiger Transit buses normally go out there near the big Tiger Transit stop. And you guys will be live 11:30 for the Tiger Tailgate Show all the way leading up to 2:30 for kickoff. And, of course, on your way in or if you're at home driving around, whatever the case may be, you can catch it on Wings 94.3 and WingsFM.com. Brad, as always, thank you so much for your time. Always a pleasure. Look forward to this every single week. You guys have a great show, great call again Saturday, and War Eagle.
You got it. War Eagle, Jacob. Thanks very much.
That's Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network. Check them out on social media. Keep up with their broadcast. Everything you need to know, you can check it out with the Auburn Sports Network. We'll take our last break in hour number one, come back quick segment, and launch you into hour number two, where Auburn High School's head football coach Keith Etheridge will join us at 3 o'clock. But back after this to wrap up hour number one on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, online at ESPNAU.com, or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Wrapping up hour number one here on the Thursday edition of On the Line. Thanks to Brad Law. Isn't he great, man? I love talking with Brad. I love having him on the show and talking to him on the air, but just getting the chance to catch up with him throughout the week as well over during press conferences or Tiger Talk, anything like that. He's one of the best. And so always appreciative of his time and his information. And he seems confident for Auburn in week two, but understands that you got to go out and take care of business, right? Got to go do your thing if you're Auburn this week against Cal. So be sure, again, check all of that out. Saturday and Wings 94.3, they just go hand in hand. Goes hand in hand on Fridays too, doesn't it not? On Saturday, though, 5 hours before kickoff, every Saturday this football season, we have all of your pregame coverage. Game day on Wings for 2 hours this Saturday. That will be at 9:30 in the morning. That's an early wake-up call for Jack Hutton. I don't know if he's quite ready for that. There's going to be some even worse. Auburn plays a game this year. Don't they play at like 11:45? Isn't there a game this season? Maybe ULM, that's like 11:45. Let's keep that one on the down low. We don't want to scare Jack Hutton away just yet. But this Saturday, 9:30, those two go live. Jack Hutton, Uncle T-Bone, 9:30 on Wings 94.3 and WingsFM.com. 2 hours of those guys talking Auburn, talking week one and two of college football, biggest games, all that sort of stuff, right? And then that will lead you straight into the Tiger Tailgate Show with Brad Law, who, again, I said it to him, and I'm not just saying it. I really do mean it. He did a phenomenal job. He did a phenomenal job taking over for Paul Allen in the Tiger Tailgate Show, post-game show. All of that did a wonderful job, and everybody did. I know Britt Bowen, good friend of mine, and a big part of the Auburn Sports Network, his first time producing the broadcast there on Saturday, and everything was flawless. So shout out to them. They'll have you after game day on Wings. They'll go live at 11:30. 3 hours of coverage from them, taking you all the way up to kickoff between Auburn and Cal. That is on Wings 94.3. Kickoff at 2:30. And looking at the weather, it's been a big point of conversation this week just with high school football this week, Auburn on Saturday, right? Weather looks to be okay. Let's check Childersburg weather right now because, reminder, Lee Scott Academy football, their game got moved from tomorrow to tonight, and they're at Childersburg, that game on the radio tonight on AU 100, which is 100.3. Weather looks good for them, so it looks like they made the right decision. Should stay dry and should be good to go up there in Childersburg. But here in Auburn, tomorrow, not looking too hot, huh? Tomorrow's going to be quite nasty, to be honest with you. It is, let's see, Friday is down. It's down to an 84% chance. Yay. Down to an 84% chance of rain. But Saturday says rain showers early with overcast later in the day. So high of 82, not bad. Right? Not bad. And I know a lot of Auburn fans were wanting it to be, oh, let's make it 100 degrees and the humidity at 500% and make Cal suffer. Ah, come on. They're going to get beat anyway, right? Auburn doesn't need the heat to help them win the football game. Saturday should be just fine. All right, hour number one is in the books. Stick around. A jam-packed hour number two coming up. Auburn High School's head football coach Keith Etheridge joins us on the phone lines to start hour number two. Quick segment after that, and then Chris Gordy, host of Locked On SEC. What in the world happened to his LSU Tigers? We'll give him some you-know-what for that later on as well. Don't go anywhere. Hour number two coming up.
Is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goetz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm your man, Jacob Goetz. If you missed any of hour number one, you missed a good one, as you always do. Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network was with us, recapped week one for Auburn University, talked Auburn and Cal, gave you all the information you need for the broadcast coming up this weekend for Auburn and Cal. That's over on Wings 94.3. Also, I looked around week two of college football a little bit, biggest storylines, how Auburn and Alabama fans are feeling going into similar games in week two. So that was all in hour number one. Here in hour number two, though, coming up in about 30 minutes, we'll be joined by Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast. You know he'll have some takes from week one of college football, predictions for week two in college football as well. But as we are joined every Thursday at 3 o'clock to start the second hour, we're getting to the phone lines, and we're joined by Auburn High School's head football coach, Keith Etheridge. Coach, great to have you on the show once again, my man. Happy Thursday, and it's another game week for the Auburn High Tigers.
Absolutely, brother. It's a big one this week.
Yes, sir. I look, I know everybody's excited, and I've said this so many times for me selfishly. I'm just so pumped to get my first taste, true taste, of Auburn at Opelika.
It's fun. It's definitely fun. The atmosphere is unbelievable. You know, it's going to be a great night. Maybe a little wet, but all in all, it's going to be fun.
Hey, bring your ponchos and umbrellas, right, and just sit it out. And,
that's right.
And look, once you're wet, you're wet. I mean, what you know, once your shoes and socks are done, then you may as well sit it out and see how it goes, right?
That's right. It's not going to be burning up, though. I think the temperature's going to be good, so.
Yeah, it's supposed to be good. Yeah, and look, it's sold out, as it always is, and sold out early this week. And so it may be raining, but Tiger fans, Dog fans, they're crazy about football now. They're going to be out there at Duck Sanford Stadium, and it's going to be packed out, and can't wait to get your thoughts on Opelika coming up tomorrow. But need to recap what happened a week ago there at the Duck, where you guys got another big win, starting 2-0 now in the 2024 season, where Vestavia Hills came in a talented football team, close first half, but your guys came in and played really, really well in that second half.
Yeah, it was. You know, we knew they were going to be really good. They're well coached. You know, Coach Evans does a great job with those guys. You know, they came in, we knew they was going to play hard and you know, leave it all out there on the field, and they did. We gave up a kickoff return the first half, which led to seven of their points. So we got to make sure we shore that up before Friday. So we've been working on that. And I think that, you know, we came out in the second half and played really, really good, shut them out and put some points on the board and, you know, scored 31 in the first half and then came back out the second half. And I think, you know, just scored about every drive that our starters were in. So,
Well, you and I had talked, before week one, and then after week one, we had you off, obviously, during our post game show, and you had said how, you know, week one was so clean, and even going into week two, you were worried a little bit on whether that would all come out in week two, and there were a few more penalties and some things in game two. So how do you guys get that cleaned up for game three when it is such a big opponent like Opelika?
Yeah, the good thing is we didn't have a lot of pre-snap penalties and stuff like that. You know, we had a couple of hole penalties and some effort penalties where guys were trying to get after it. And, you know, we can live with those, just the pre-snap penalties and things like that. So I think that we've addressed that, and hopefully we'll come out and play clean this week. You know, you're never going to be perfect. I think that we played a lot cleaner. You know, the second half, I think the first half we had a couple penalties that kind of put us behind the chains a couple times. And, you know, I think the only drives that we really didn't score were the drives that we got some penalties on. So we just got to make sure that we don't get the pre-snap penalties, you know, continue to play with a lot of effort and have a great attitude and just, you know, play our brand of football.
The second half a week ago for you guys against Vestavia defensively is what stood out to me. I mean, just locked it down against the Rebels of Vestavia Hills. What is it about Goolsby's defense that gets people forward? Yes, there's a ton of talent over there, but what is it about the formations and the calling and everything that he does that makes that defense so special?
Just a lot of preparation goes into it. You know, him and his defense staff do a fantastic job. And you got to think about it. They got to line up against us offensively every week. You know, our offense and our defense lines up against each other. We do a lot of motions, a lot of shifts, a lot of, you know, so our defense sees that all the time. So they're pretty prepared, you know. And Goosby's guys, you know, his philosophy is they're going to play hard. They're going to play with great effort, and they're going to be in the right spots and, you know, get there and make plays when you get there. You know, his kids play tremendously hard for him. So I think that has a lot to do with it also.
And there's a lot of guys that we could talk about every single week and say similar things about, but this guy just continues to impress for me early this season, and it's your quarterback. It's Jackson Kilgore, who we've mentioned had a very short season a year ago. He's played two games this season. I believe that's more than he had a year ago now, and going into week three against Opelika, you just have to feel so comfortable and confident with him and his decision-making each and every week.
Yeah, he's, you know, like I said, he's got our whole playbook at his arsenal. You know, he's a smart kid, works tremendously hard, great leader. So he's a kid that we feel real comfortable running our offense, and he can do it all, you know. So, I mean, he's a kid that's completing 79% of his balls. He's rushed for over 100 yards last week, threw for over 250, you know. The week before that, had a really good game, was really, you know, efficient. I think he was 14 for 17 or something like that, something crazy efficient. So it feels really good to have a guy, a trigger puller out there that knows what he's doing and has been through the battles, you know. He got injured last year and it really hurt us, you know. And I think that, you know, he's came back this year with a mentality of, you know, this is something. No, I want to get in here. I want to finish this time.
Coach Etheridge joining us from Auburn High School football here as we get hour number two underway on ESPN 106.7. And now we flip the page to tomorrow night, Coach. It's Opelika coming across the town, coming across the line, if you will, and they're walking into Duck Sanford Stadium to take on your Tigers. What can you tell our listeners about that Opelika Bulldogs team that's walking in there tomorrow night?
They got a really good football team. A really good football team, a lot of talent everywhere over there. You know, they're going to be very, very athletic, you know, really big up front on both sides. So, you know, we got to come in and play our best football. And, you know, I think that it's going to be a great football game. I think that, you know, everybody's expecting that, you know, it always is in this rivalry. But, you know, I think that we just, you know, no turnovers, you know, no pre-snap penalties, just do the little things right and let the chips fall where they may. I told our kids, you know, most of the time in this game, it's the team that don't turn the ball over and makes the least amount of mistakes that comes out the victor, you know, especially in a game that, you know, everybody's so hyped up for. Everybody's so excited to get to the game. And you know, I try to tell our kids, you know, we got to take it just like it's you know, the next Friday night. You know, we talk about playing a nameless, faceless opponent every Friday night and just doing what Auburn High School does and get better every single week.
Well, that's where I was going to go because it's no secret. I mean, this is such a big rivalry and such a big game, and it's easy for athletes, doesn't matter what age, but it's easy for them to get overhyped and get overexcited and make those silly mistakes and things that you don't normally do that can hurt your team. And so, yeah, I was going to ask you, how do you get them to not go that way when it is Opelika? I mean, these kids know each other personally off the football field.
Yeah, and that it happens. You know, I mean, kids get fired up.
Sure,
they want to make plays, and you know they're gonna go extra hard to when they're playing against their friends from cross town. You know, but you can't get too high because when you get too high, there's a low there too. You know, you got to stay even keel, and our kids got to understand that we got to play with our. I tell them, you know, this game's gonna be played with your hearts and your head. You know, so. Your athletic ability is going to be there when you get out there. You just got to play this game with your hearts and your head. You know, think about what you're doing. Make sure you're in the right spot. You know, make sure you're playing hard. You know, so and I think if you do those things, I think you know everything else will take care of itself.
Coach, can we expect an electrifying finish like we saw a year ago, score with 30 seconds on the clock, comeback victory, everybody goes crazy? I mean, you want to be stressed like that all night tomorrow, right?
No, I'd like to. I'd like for that not to be the case. But, you know, in this game, you never know what to expect. It's one of them games where, you know, anything can happen. So we got to be prepared. You know, I think it's going to be a great football game. It's two really good football teams. I truly believe it's two top 5-10 football teams, you know, going at it tomorrow night. And I think it's going to be really a lot of fun.
And something that you and I had talked about during our weekly visit for our pregame interview is not only is it Auburn-Opelika, but it opens up region play, which not that this game needed any more juice to it, but this is the first game of region play, and everybody knows what that means.
Absolutely. You know, it's you know, you win the game, you put yourself in a good situation, you lose the game, you know, you got to scrap the rest of the year because this region is brutal. You know, I mean, you got Opelika, you got Central Phoenix, you got Dothan, you got Enterprise, you got Carver, there's this region is loaded with a lot of talent. So you got to be able to play week in, week out and be ready to go. Smith Station, Jack, you know, there's a lot of really good teams in this region.
And before we let you go, again, speaking with Auburn High School's head football coach, Keith Etheridge, never want to look ahead and overlook any opponent, but how important is it to get this 3-game homestand taken care of, go 3-0 before you make your first road trip to, just a top 5 Enterprise team next week?
Yeah. I mean, you know, like I said, this region's not easy. It don't matter who you're playing. You know, we got Opelika. We got have to play this game, and then we'll start. You know, Saturday morning we'll start getting ready for Enterprise, and you know they've got a great football team. They got 3 or 4, Power 5 kids on their team, so they're going to be ready to go. You know, I think you know we can't wait to get that opportunity to get them back from last year. You know, last year we dropped one to them. I felt like that we shouldn't have, but you know, right now. We're focused on Opelika. We got to get ready to play tomorrow night, and hope everybody comes out to the Duck. Like you said, it's a sold out crowd, so love for everybody to come out and just get ready to get a little. You may gonna get a little wet, but it's gonna be okay. It's gonna be all right.
It's gonna be okay.
If you're not there, you watch it on NFHS Network.
And you can listen to it on Wings 94.3, wingsfm.com, and it's going to be an awesome game. Tigers and Dogs tomorrow night, Duck Sanford Stadium. We'll be on the air on Wings 94.3 on the Auburn High Sports Network. Pregame 6:30 and kickoff at 7. Auburn High's head football coach, Keith Etheridge, joins us every Thursday at 3 o'clock here on ESPN. Coach, thanks so much for your time as always, man. Appreciate it. Good luck tomorrow night, and go Tigers.
Thank you, Jacob. Go Tigers.
appreciate the time. Head coach Keith Etheridge, Tigers and Dogs tomorrow night. Auburn and Opelika, man, doesn't get any better than that in high school football. Again, as he said, if you don't have a ticket already, you ain't getting in the door. So you may as well listen to us on Wings 94.3, WingsFM.com, and the Radio Alabama app. Myself, Rob Pate, Jack Hutton. It's going to be a fantastic game tomorrow night. And yeah, the weather is going to be a factor. And anybody that tells you different is lying. And in this game, I'm glad he went down that road of the emotions in a game like this and how you have to control them as best as possible, because it's so easy as a young player. And this happens in high school, college, NFL, like professional, whatever sport it is. It's so easy to get overhyped for a game like this. And this is where you see those bad late hits. This is where you see unnecessary roughness. You see all those types of penalties that, man, in a game like this, you just can't afford. And so looking for the cleaner team tomorrow night. And with the weather, yeah, I think like Coach said, whoever plays cleaner, smarter football, you're going to have the better chance to win the game. So Auburn and Opelika tomorrow night, Duck Sanford Stadium again. Pregame 6:30, kickoff at 7, only on Wings 94.3. We'll take our first break here in hour number 2. Come back, have a little bit of conversation before we get Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast, in here. Get his full reaction from Week 1 and preview of Week 2. This is the last time for you to call in, be a part of the show. You got about, what, about 14 minutes or so? Get in on this. 334-321-1390. That number again, 334-321-1390. Also, want to remind you that hour number 2 each and every day here during On the Line is brought to you by the Orthopedic Clinic. The Orthopedic Clinic is East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika to better serve you. You can find them online at theorthoclinic.com. They bring you the 3 to 4 o'clock hour each and every day here on ESPN. Back after this for hour number 2. Rolls on ESPN Radio.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
We continue on here in hour number 2 during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Coach Etheridge, man, he is a class act. I'll tell you what, he is awesome. One of the best coaches that I've had a chance to cover. Just one of the most genuine coaches that I've had a chance to cover. That's why they're broadcasting, radio, journalism, whatever the case may be. I mean, Etheridge is, he's an open book, man. He'll tell you what you want to know. And always appreciate his time and shouting us out and saying, you know, you can listen on Wings 94.3. And we appreciate Coach Etheridge as Auburn High and Opelika tomorrow night. All right, tomorrow night at the Duck. It's going to be raining. Just be ready for it. If you're going to go, you may as well go. I remember, story time with Jacob here. I remember when I was in college, when I was over at Auburn, during COVID, it was the COVID season, the 2020 football season, the SEC only season, right, where it started in like October or something crazy like that. And it was only students who were allowed to go to the games. I may have told this story before. Students were the only ones that were going to the games, and then like select donors, right? The big dogs, if you will. And I remember it was the Arkansas game. It was the Arkansas game, and that may have been, correct me if I'm wrong, somebody, that may have been the Bo Nix spike game. Is that the same game? Either way, I remember we still had to get in there, right, 2 hours before kickoff, because the line was still insane. We were all spread out. You could only sit in pockets of four. Couldn't be within like so many feet of air. It was ridiculous, right? It was crazy times we were living in. And I remember that Arkansas game very, very vividly, because it poured rain from the time we walked in the stadium until we walked out the door of Jordan-Hare. I mean, it flooded. Don't think there were any lightning delays, though. I don't remember that. But I remember, right, we went in and we had rain jackets and ponchos and everything like that. And it rained so much and so hard that it just didn't matter. 30 minutes in, we were still sitting there, an hour and a half left for kickoff, and we were just soaking wet. Just head to toe, everything we owned was drenched. And so it was one of those situations. And this is what a life lesson this is about to be. You had two choices. You could sit there and be miserable and complain about it the whole time. I guess you could leave if you wanted to. Or we just embraced it. And man, that was one of the most fun games I ever went to in college. Had a group of friends we were with, and we were wearing masks then too, still. So our masks were soaking wet. I mean, it's disgusting to think about, but it was so much fun, man. We had an absolute blast. Auburn, I think they won that game, and I don't know. I just always remember that game when I was in college. I'll always remember that because of just how much it rained, and so. If I can do it, somebody that hates, I mean hates, my socks and shoes being wet. I can't stand it. It is one of the biggest pet peeves of mine, like a personal ick of mine. I can't stand it, man. But I embraced it, and we had such a good time. So if anybody's going to the Auburn Opelika game tomorrow, just embrace it, man. You're going to get wet, and there ain't no staying dry. You may delay the inevitable, but you're going to get soaked by the end of it. So just embrace it. Have a good time. Have fun. Whether you're wearing blue and white, whether you're wearing red, it's going to be a lot of fun. And again, I can't wait to see the turnout. I wish it was going to be bright, sunny, beautiful. Temperature-wise, like Coach said, it's going to be in like the 70s or something. It may, and hold on to your steering wheel when I say this, it may get a little chilly. Tomorrow night, it may be a little cold. Isn't that a miracle? Oh, thank you, Jesus, for that. I'm tired of the summer, man. Get that stuff out of here. Ready for the fall, ready for football weather, and I think we're going to have a lot of that moving in to the next few weeks. Again, phone lines are open. You've got a few minutes if you want to jump in on the show real quick. 334-321-1390. Any picks or predictions for you guys in terms of high school football, college football? You got a pick for tonight, the NFL game? NFL starts tonight. Week one of the NFL season begins tonight. Baltimore Ravens and the Kansas City Chiefs. I think I've complained about this already on the show, but if I haven't, I will now. I'm so mad. I'm so frustrated. My Green Bay Packers play tomorrow. Why are we playing an NFL game on a Friday night? Why? I don't care if it's, I don't know, whatever. I don't know. I don't know why they're doing it. I have no idea. Only thing I know is that it is taking place in Sao Paulo. I hope I pronounced that properly. But on a Friday night on Peacock. So it's on a non-traditional day. It's on a non-traditional streaming platform that if you don't pay for, you got to pay for it now. I don't get it, man. And I'm going to be on the air. So I'm going to have Jack give me score updates on the Packers because we play the Eagles to open up the season and really excited about it. Now, don't get me wrong. There's nowhere else I'd rather be than calling Auburn High football tomorrow night. And I will not even think about the Packers until I get off the air. But I just don't get that, man. Friday night, whatever. Rest of the games are on Sunday, week one of the NFL season. Really looking forward to that. And so let me know if you got any crazy picks or predictions there. Speaking of picks, something else I haven't plugged today that we need to. Go to our station website right now. Go to ESPNAU.com. Week two of our SEC football challenge. It's live. It's up there right now. Go make your picks. We had a winner a week ago. I need to see how I did. Let's sign in while I'm sitting here and see how I did. We'll make our picks tomorrow on the show when we're sitting out, or sitting inside rather, at Auburn Plaza Bar and Lounge. We will be on location, brought to you by Sensa Green Heating and Air. But week two is here, and you can get in on that. Make sure you get your picks in by Friday night at midnight. We had a winner. It was Flint Bobbles who won week one, a $25 Visa gift card from the Orthopedic Clinic. This week is a $25 gift card from Johnny Brusco. So be sure you get your picks in and win. A reminder, there's winners every week and then a grand prize winner at the very end with a big prize pack from all three of our wonderful sponsors, University Ace Hardware, Johnny Brusco's New York Style Pizza, and the Orthopedic Clinic. Let's take a look at the leaders. How did I do last week? I really don't even know. Some people, he must have went perfect. That's insane. That is kind of crazy. I don't even know where I ended up last week. Some of my picks were not good. Some people had Vandy winning that game, which is insane. Uncle T-Bone had 12. See John and Auburn in there. You had 12. There's a lot of people in here. This is really good. I hadn't seen how many people had had participated yet, and this is really, really good. So shout out. I don't see my name anywhere on there, so I don't think I did too hot. That's okay, though. That's okay. I can't win anyway, so why do good if I can't win, right? That's what I'm saying. That's my motto, and I'm sticking to it. Get on there, ESPNAU.com or SEC Football Challenge. That's live. Speaking of all those games, we're talking about those with Chris Gordy coming up in just a few minutes. Locked on SEC. If you haven't listened or watched his podcast, you really are missing out. He posts an episode every single day on YouTube and audio. You can check it out about 25, 30 minutes a day, talking all the biggest storylines around the Southeastern Conference. And there's some fun games to get into this week. Texas, Michigan, right? Arkansas, can they take down Oklahoma State? Auburn hosting Cal. South Florida, are they going to upset the Crimson Tide? No. In Tuscaloosa, you never know. A couple of teams with some really boring cupcake games as well. But most of those teams played a big game in week one. But don't let me forget, somebody text me if I don't get on him. I'm going to get on him early. His LSU Tigers, what are we doing? What are we doing? They let USC beat them in the opener in week one. So we'll get all of his week one reactions, picks, and predictions for week two. Chris Gordy, Locked On SEC. He joins us coming up after this. 30 more minutes here on the Thursday edition of On the Line.
With Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Man, I look forward to this conversation every single week. He is the host of the Locked On SEC podcast, your daily podcast covering all things Southeastern Conference. Chris Gordy joining us on the phone lines, and I got to start right away. What in the world happened in Las Vegas? Was it because you were there? Is that what happened with LSU dropping the ball? Did you bet on LSU? What in the world happened, man?
What happened was my sinuses got dried out going from that desert here back to the humidity in the south. It might be me because I've been in attendance these last few openers, and Brian Kelly just can't seem to win them. It's wild. I mean, it's crazy because LSU didn't play bad. I mean, they played well and, you know, played well enough to win the game and had all the momentum for much of the game. It felt like they were going to win it. And then in that fourth quarter, they just kind of got a little stagnant with the play calling. And this is where I think we didn't make enough of a big deal out of LSU losing Mike Denbrock this offseason as their offensive coordinator. You know, Notre Dame came in and gave him a blank check and said, hey, you want to move back home? And they convinced him to do it. And, you know, he was the guy calling plays for Jaden Daniels last year when he won the Heisman. And, you know, I think Joe Sloan will be a good OC. You know, he was an OC previously at Louisiana Tech, and he was LSU's, you know, quarterback coach last year. But I think we kind of saw, you know, a moment of, hey, Joe Sloan, this is the big boys level of football. This isn't Louisiana Tech. And you got to be aggressive. You got to go win a game. And I thought they, you know, they were still trying to run the football, and USC was shutting it down, and they couldn't close it out. I don't think it means LSU's a bad football team. I don't think it means Brian Kelly's a bad coach. I think LSU's going to be just fine because look at each of the last 2 years. They lost their opener both of the last 2 years and still won 10 games both years. In fact, 2 years ago won the SEC West. So, yeah, I think they're going to be all right, but it's certainly not what you want in this world of, you know, 10-2 makes the playoffs. You still have, you know, you have very little room for error here down the stretch of the season. You know, with a home game against Alabama, home game against Oklahoma, home game against Ole Miss. I mean, you got some big teams coming on the schedule here, and you're going to have to beat those teams if you want to make the playoff. But Yeah, it's funny, though. Of the three SEC teams that lost, I was talking to one of the bookmakers on Monday morning in Vegas, and he basically said, yeah, A&M was favored last week. If they played Notre Dame again this week at home, Notre Dame would be the favorite. If Florida played Miami again at home, you know, this week, they'd be heavy underdogs. But if LSU and USC played again this week on a neutral field, LSU would still be the favorite team. And so I think that says a lot about, you know, sometimes the best team doesn't win on any given night.
Well, that's kind of where I was going, is the fact that LSU was not, I wouldn't say it was embarrassing for them to lose. I mean, that's a good USC team. I think they were better than people gave them credit for, myself included. And then when that was following up whatever happened with Texas A&M and Notre Dame and Florida getting beat down by Miami, I mean, the SEC did better than it did a year ago in week one, Chris, but still dropped some of those bigger matchups.
Yeah, but I had somebody point out that he said at the end of the day, you know, where maybe LSU had a chance to finish as the top four team in the conference, but A&M and Florida were not going to be in that category. So, you know, what are we beating our chest about? Miami, who might be one of the better teams in the ACC, beat like the ninth best team in the SEC, or I don't know, 13th best team, wherever you want to rank Florida. Same thing with Notre Dame. Notre Dame, a preseason top seven team, and they beat A&M, who's what, probably the eighth or ninth best team in the SEC. So, at the end of the day, you're talking about, you know, these weren't the best teams in the SEC that took L's, but yeah, look, you know, it's feather in the cap for those other schools. But I do think, I mean, A&M is going to be fine. I mean, that defense kept them in the game the whole way. Mike Elko, you can already see his imprint on that defense. And I mean, what, seven tackles for loss they had? I mean, they were swarming. Nick Scorton and Shamar Stewart, Shamar Turner, all those guys. So I think A&M is going to be fine. You know, we'll see how they do in you know, when they get into some of their tougher games. But the offense is going to have to play better. Connor Wegman, woof, one of his worst games he's played in an A&M uniform. But, yeah, the one that really took the L this weekend was Florida. Mm. And, you know, now it's literally the topics have become, it's not a matter of if but when Billy Napier is fired this year.
And that's so crazy to think about. I know we've had these conversations and everybody's talked about it this way, but part of me in my heart just wanted Florida to come out and prove the doubters wrong, right? Come out and figure it out and take down the ACC and bring Florida back to glory. And my God, Chris, it just didn't happen at all. It was the exact opposite. It was terrible.
Well, my betting slip at MGM also wanted Florida to win. So, unfortunately, that didn't come to fruition. Yeah, I took some of the underdogs. You know, I took Clemson, a flyer on Clemson, just because I was like, who knows what Georgia's going to look like in week one. And, oof, you know, it was 6-0 at halftime. You're like, oh, all right, we're in this. And then Georgia came out and played like Georgia in the second half. But, yeah, it's, you know, again, I think it's kind of interesting to see. I mean, you know, you put a nobody and you beat up on them, great. But, man, I've seen way too much peacocking this week from Ole Miss fans and Alabama fans. And it's like, you know what, if A&M, Florida, or LSU had opened with Furman, yeah, they might be peacocking too if they had won 66-0. It tells you nothing about your team playing a team like that other than it's a patch statter. And that's what's going to be very interesting this week is, you know, look, Auburn did what they needed to do last week. But, you know, it's a pretty good Cal team coming in. You know, the competition ramps up a little bit more this week and a much better test. Same thing for Tennessee. They beat up on Chattanooga, but yeah, they got to play a top 25 team in NC State on a neutral field. So, yeah, it's, you know, last week it's kind of these teams who play cupcakes. It's really hard to get too excited about what we saw because you haven't been tested yet.
Right, and that's where we go is looking into week two as we talk with Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast. He's with us every Thursday here on ESPN Radio. Really good games in week two. Maybe not as many of the heavy hitters as we had in week one, but you mentioned quite a few of them just now. I mean, Auburn with Cal, Bama with South Florida. I know they're favored by 31, but last year was pretty crazy. Tennessee, NC State. You have Arkansas on the road at Oklahoma State, and Texas and Michigan really highlights it all.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting. I mean, we're going to find out what Texas really is. I mean, you know, I know Michigan's lost a ton, and I don't know what they're doing at the quarterback position. But, you know, I was talking to somebody last week who's a big Michigan fan. He said, these might be our best corners we've had in a while. And, you know, that'll be really interesting. Texas ran the ball okay against Colorado State. I'll be curious to see, though. Jaden Blue got banged up and left. You know, if he's healthy this week, if Texas can't run the football consistently against Michigan and they have to become one-dimensional and throw it, you know, how do those Michigan DBs match up against the Texas wide receivers? That'll be really interesting because if they get an interception or two off of Quinn Ewers, this could be a close game down to the wire. So, really, really good test for Texas right out of the gates. But yeah, outside of that, I mean, I love the SEC. You know, it's our first SEC matchup of the season.
Yeah,
with South Carolina going to Lexington and playing Kentucky, I think that's going to be an interesting one because South Carolina, you know, survived the scare of their lives last week against Old Dominion and were able to survive. But Norris Sellers did not look great, and Kentucky looked good. Kentucky didn't even play a full game against Southern, but they didn't need to. You know, Brock Vandegrift threw three touchdowns, they had two interceptions, J.J. Weaver had a sack, so Kentucky looked really good for, you know, for their week one. Let's see what they look like against SEC competition this week. But this is when Kentucky has to win. And if South Carolina loses, man, the Boo Birds are going to start to come out in Columbia, where you might be hearing more and more heat on Shane Beamer's seat.
And Kentucky, I've talked about it for the last couple of days. I mean, this is a big game for them, but it's the classic look ahead because they've got Georgia coming to Lexington next weekend.
Yeah, no doubt. It's going to be a tough one with Georgia. So this is one. Look, Kentucky, Mark Stoops has done a fantastic job since he's been there of, you know, at minimum basically being either 6-6, but if some of you are 7-5, 8-4, 9-3, like this is one that if you want to be in the top half of that upper echelon, you got to win this one.
Is there any concern for you, Chris? You mentioned the Alabama game and the Auburn game, two games, two teams where if they walk into their stadium, their home stadium, and take care of and play the way they're supposed to, they'll take care of business. We saw the scare a year ago with South Florida. We saw the scare a year ago with Cal. Any chance that those two are replicated this year?
Yeah, God, that Cal-Auburn game, I think, set football back 50 years last year.
yeah.
You know, the Alabama one is very interesting because what's funny is there's been a lot of South Florida people talking trash this week. And,
a lot of social media. Yeah.
And there's a lot of Bama fans that are having a little bit of PTSD going, yeah, I mean, that was one of our ugliest games we played in recent history last year. It was, you know, you had the rain delay, you know, Saban benching Jalen Milroe, going to the backup quarterbacks. They all stunk. So yeah, I think this one's a lot different. I mean, they're riding high in Tuscaloosa right now. I mean, they're going Saban who? I mean, Jalen DeBoer. Look at what he just did against Western Kentucky. And Jalen Milroe threw 200 yards. You know, Ryan Williams is the talk of the city right now with the true freshman. He's only 17 years old. And he had two touchdowns, and then he comes out with the post game quote on, you know, 4 + 2 = 6 because he's number two and Milroe's number four. So. Yeah, you know, look, they're feeling good about themselves. I think they'll feel really good after they beat up on South Florida. But a road trip to Wisconsin next week, kind of an interesting spot for this Alabama team. And, you know, look, it's a good warm-up schedule for Kalen DeBoer. But, man, let's see what this Alabama team looks like down the road when they get into real competition because I don't think the Bama fans will be dancing and throwing parades like they are right now.
I'll tell you a game that's coming up Saturday night, 6:45 on the SEC Network. That tells you all you need to know. But I was really hoping that this Houston-Oklahoma game was going to be better until Houston absolutely looked terrible in week one, and they lost in week one. And now Oklahoma's a 28-point favorite, man.
Yeah, the cupboard is bare there. Dana Holgorsen, you know, they couldn't get on board with the NIL there in Houston, the program I know pretty well. And mm-hmm. You know, Willie Fritz is a hell of a football coach. I mean, he's won everywhere he's been. You know, go back to Blinn College with Cam Newton. I mean, he's a winner everywhere he's been. And look at what he did with Tulane. They got to, you know, had some of their best seasons ever. Get their Cotton Bowl and beat USC in a Cotton Bowl was one of the most monumental wins they've had. And so he could have just sat tight at Tulane for the next decade and, you know, won AAC titles and, you know, maybe they sneak into the playoff as an at-large team. But he wanted the next challenge, and the next challenge was taking a step up to the next bigger conference, which is the Big 12. And that's where Houston is now. But, man, the cupboard was bare. They just don't have much talent. I mean, Donovan Smith, the quarterback, he transferred from Texas Tech 2 years ago, and he's fine. But and they got no offensive line. They got no protection. They just got their brains beat in by Barry Odom's UNLV crew in week one. So, You're right. I mean, any other year, like when Tom Herman was at Houston and they were winning double-digit games every year with Ed Oliver on the big defensive line, like, yeah, this is one that they could have gone up to Norman and given Oklahoma a scare, but not this one. This is one where I think Oklahoma steamrolls them, and you know, Jackson Arnold getting his confidence up, looked good last week at quarterback. I think they'll do the same thing this week, and Oklahoma will win big. And I think all eyes are pointed for Oklahoma coming in a couple weeks when they host Tennessee for their first SEC, game in the SEC.
I call this last one a classic fishbowl game because you put teams' names on a piece of paper in a fishbowl and you pull them out, and this is it. Mississippi State on the road at Arizona State, 9:30 on ESPN Saturday night. It really is the Cal-Auburn game from a year ago, and it very well could be that ugly between Mississippi State and Arizona State, man.
Yeah, I know nothing about Arizona State. I had a buddy tell me yesterday, he's like, oh, they're pretty good. I'm like, all right, well, I'll trust you on that one.
Okay.
I know nothing about them since Herm Edwards got fired. But, Jeff Lebby and crew, I mean, they were kind of like the team nobody really talked about from a week ago. I know they played Eastern Kentucky, but Blake Shapen looked really good. The run game looked good. Like, I don't know, man. Like, I was saying all offseason, Mississippi State is that ultimate wild card team. Like, everyone looks at the schedule and goes, oh, they're going to be terrible, and you just pencil it in a W. But Jeff Levy's too damn good of a play caller for you to just say, oh, yeah, that's an easy win. So, man, it would not shock me at all if they went on the road and won at Arizona State. It would not shock me at all if they went on the road and got blown out. And it wasn't even close. So that's definitely one that I like. That's a late night one because I'll be laying in bed probably trying to fight sleep to stay awake to watch. But it's a fun one. It's a fun late night one on Saturday night, and we'll kind of get a good scouting report on Mississippi State and what they really are.
You're telling me you didn't put anything on that on your way out in Vegas in a sports book in the airport somewhere? You didn't want to throw something on Mississippi State, Arizona State?
No, I didn't even get past week one. I was too worried about all my bets I lost in week one that I couldn't even look ahead to week two. But it's probably one. I mean, I haven't looked at the line, but I assume Arizona State's the favorite. So, yeah, why not hop on Mississippi State? Hey, my other upset special. I'm going to regret the
haul. Oh, no, but don't do it.
I've been hyping it all week. I think Arkansas wins all the way to Oklahoma State.
Oh, he did it. Wow. You do think Arkansas goes on the road, gets a top 20 win in Stillwater as an 8-point dog?
Look, Kalen Green, we had him on the show, and the kid is charming. I love him. He's an awesome kid. Had him all locked on SEC this offseason. He looked awesome last week in their opener. Like our buddy John Neighbors said, he's like, look, man, I know we played a nobody, but we put up 70 points. Like, we haven't done this in forever. We're going to celebrate this. So, I don't know. Maybe this is the win that turns things around for Sam Pittman and maybe saves his job this year if he could find a way to win. But, you know, they're going to have to play hard defense. They're going to have to slow down that running back from Oklahoma State. But, you know, who knows? If the offense can score, they could find themselves in a shootout in Okie State.
Wow. Okay. Well, you know us. We're going to hold you to it, and my listeners will definitely get on you if you're wrong. So as long as you have Auburn beating Cal, we're good.
Yeah, Auburn will beat Cal. And by the way, they quick note to Auburn, they did everything we talked about last week. Right?
Yes, they did.
They showcased the freshman receivers. They, the run game looked good. Jarquez Hunter looked great. I mean, like, everything you wanted. Peyton Thorne looking awesome. What is he, number two in the SEC in passing yards after week one? So, yeah, it's everything you wanted. Hugh Freeze, you passed with flying colors in week one. But now it's about taking the next step. Look good and get a win against a nice Cal team this week.
Yeah, build up your resume with the Auburn fans until Oklahoma comes and you tear them down. Or if Arkansas wins and they come to town and you pick the Razorbacks to come and beat Auburn inside Jordan-Hare. I know how you operate, man. I'm no fool.
Hey, there are plenty of potential losses on Auburn's schedule coming ahead, okay?
Chris Gordy, host of Locked On SEC, is with us every Thursday starting at 3:30. Always appreciate you and your time, my friend. Tell them where to find it and what you got going on.
Yeah, just search Locked On SEC wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube. And, numbers have been blowing up on YouTube, so go check us out, Locked On SEC.
Awesome, man. Thanks so much. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again next Thursday.
All right, thanks, man.
Chris Gordy, Locked On SEC. Check him out YouTube and just search it, Locked On SEC. He posts an episode every single day, Monday through Friday. We'll take our final break, come back, and wrap it all up here on the Thursday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, online at ESPNAU.com, or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
final segment here on the Thursday edition of On the Line, and discussing the very well-known fly problem that Auburn has, apparently. It's a no-fly zone in Auburn now. Come on now. Unbelievable. People on social media are crazy, y'all. If you didn't take anything else away from my show today, that's it. People are crazy. All right. What's the classic song? God's great, beer is good, people are crazy. Boom. There you go. Happy Thursday. It's been a great show today. It's been jam-packed. It always is on Thursdays, right? Had three wonderful guests back to back to back. Had Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network, who joined us in hour number one. Got his thoughts on game one from a week ago. Previewed game two between Auburn and Cal, that game on Saturday. Also gave you all the broadcast info that you need on the Auburn Sports Network. You can listen to all of that on Wings 94.3. And then to start hour number two, we had Auburn High School's head football coach, Keith Etheridge. He joins us every week on Thursdays at 3, and we previewed Auburn and Opelika tomorrow night, happening at Duck Sanford Stadium. Recapped the big win over Vestavia last week and previewed the Tigers and the Dogs. And then just got off the phone with Chris Gordy from Locked On SEC, all of his reactions from week one and his biggest picks in week two. He's got Arkansas going on the road to beat Oklahoma State, who's an 8-point favorite. Oklahoma State, a top 20 team. How about that? Arkansas, after dropping 70 plus. Sounds like Chris, as Uncle T-Bone would say, drank the Kool-Aid. No, I'm just kidding. I think it could happen. It could. I'm not picking it. I don't have the confidence in that. But hey, shout out to Chris, man. He was wrong about LSU. Maybe he'll be right about Arkansas. And if he's right, we'll give him praise. If he's wrong, yeah, we'll give him a little hard time. But that's what makes it fun, having him on the show. If you missed any of that today, catch up with the podcast at ESPNAU.com. We'll post it there right after the show. You can check it out at ESPNAU.com. I want to remind you that the second hour of today's show has been brought to you by the Orthopedic Clinic. Check them out at theorthoclinic.com. They bring you the second hour, 3 to 4 during my show each and every day. Also, before we get out of here, a couple of more programming things we need to get, and I know I'm running out of time, so we got to go rapid fire here. Tonight, high school football, Lee Scott Academy, taking on Childersburg, first region game as a member of the AHSAA. Lee Scott 2-0. This game was supposed to be tomorrow, got moved to tonight due to the weather. So check that out. Christian Griffin and Rhett Chrome on their way right now. So check it out tonight. Pre-game starts at 6:30 with kickoff at 7. That's on AU100, AU100FM.com, and the Radio Alabama app. That's 100.3 on your radio dial. So check them out. Tune into that tonight. If you're watching week one of the NFL, be sure you have them on the radio as well. And then tomorrow, ESPN. We're live on location at Auburn Plaza Bar and Lounge, On the Line and the Drive, 2 to 6. We're all going to be out there having a fantastic time. We may be dancing in the rain. Who knows what we're going to do? You'll have to come out and check it out to find out for yourself. That's brought to you by SensiGreen Heating and Air. For air that's cool and clean, you better call SensiGreen. We'll be on location tomorrow. Come hang out before I head out for Auburn and Opelika. All of that taking place tomorrow. We're busy around here, man. I'm going home. I got to take a nap before tomorrow. I'll be back 2 to 4 live on location tomorrow on ESPN 106.7. Until then, I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. I'll talk to you later.